I call the House Education Finance Committee to order. Good morning. It feels like we were just here. Oh, yeah, we were. All right. So our first order of business is to approve the minutes from our last meeting. Thanks to RCLA, Mishma Abraha has gotten them ready quickly. So would Representative Purcell move to approve the minutes for February 7th if you've had a chance to look at them? Representative Purcell moves the minutes for February 7th. Are there any questions on the minutes? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. The minutes for February 7th have been approved. So, members, first up, we have House File 170. Representative Jamie Becker-Finn is here to present her bill. Representative Pryor, would you like to move House File 170 before the committee with the intention to lay the bill over for an education finance bill?
So moved, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Pryor. We have House File 170 before us. Representative Becker-Finn, go ahead.
Thank you, and thank you, Madam Chair, for hearing this bill. Many of you have hopefully heard about this bill or seen it in ed policy. This is not the first time we've tried to get this done. It's pretty simple. Basically, all that we're trying to do is make it so that we are recognizing certified deaf interpreters at the same level as American Sign Language interpreters and other kinds of interpreters so that schools can get reimbursed so that they can actually provide these much-needed interpreters to their students. And we will hear shortly from some former... The testifiers I have are students who have been directly impacted by this issue, and you will hear directly from them. They have testified in person multiple times, but they're in school right now, so we have a video for folks so that you can hear directly from them. Unfortunately, and I know Representative Jordan and others we've had these conversations where I've been trying to help these students for years. They went to different school buildings when we first tried to get this done. Dove, the main testifier who we've been fighting for years, he was in middle school when I started this. He's now in high school, and we're sort of past the point where this is even going to help him because he's almost done with school. But his younger brother could use this help, and there are students throughout our state. It's not a lot of students, but for the students it impacts, it's incredibly important and really gets to their right to an education. So with that, I would like to have as much time as possible for our testifiers, and I believe I just have to hit play. So,
thank you, Representative Becker-Finn. We'll see how this works.
All right.
Go for it.
Hello, my name is Dove Nathanson. I am currently in 11th grade. I am deaf, and ASL is my native language. I've gone through 10 years of being denied equitable access to my education because school districts said that there was no legal recognition of deaf interpreters within K-12 systems and the services they provide. Even though RID, the National Organization of Interpreters, confirms that deaf interpreters are trained linguistic and cultural experts that work with deaf and hard of hearing people to ensure equitable access across various settings, including education, the district has disregarded that because of a technicality in our law. Being denied the support that could be provided caused me to unnecessarily struggle academically and contributed to significant delays in my educational progress. The solution to the problem is simple enough. Fix the statute to recognize these qualified professionals. We have done our due process of working with everyone we possibly could to resolve this. My district, the Minnesota Commission of the Deaf, Deafblind, and Hard of Hearing, and Minnesota Department of Education. We are here to ask for your help to not delay this fundamental civil right for us any longer to obtain an effective access to education. It has been far too long. It may be becoming too late for me, but I still have my brother here and other kids who I want to see this get better for. My name is Galvin Nathanson. I am a freshman. I also have a learning disability, so the need for this kind of language support that could be provided by having a deaf interpreter during my education is even more essential for me. Deaf interpreters are more experienced working with people like me and know how to fit me better. This would make a huge difference for me to have that expertise supporting me to succeed. It's been frustrating to watch my brother go through this problem growing up, and then to know that the same comes for me. This is not okay, and you have the power to fix it. I request that you pass this bill so that the excuse can no longer be used to deny access for kids like me anymore. We need full language access to our education and our future. Please. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Beckerfin, for allowing us to view our testifiers remotely. Next up, we have Nick Zapko, and then on deck, Alicia Lane. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Hello, everyone. My name is Nick Zapko. I am a certified deaf interpreter. Ready for me to proceed? Thank you, Chair Youakim, members. Some of you may recognize me. I was Governor Walz's certified deaf interpreter during the heart of the pandemic and the civil unrest. Providing this access truly shaped how our deaf and hearing communities experience these crises. And I'm honored to be here. I say that because this was the first time that my deaf community truly felt like they were a part of this state by receiving the important information at the same time as everyone else who can hear. Deaf folks were able to share their thoughts, worries, concerns with their families, friends, and neighbors as hearing folks do every single day. Providing that access so publicly showed that deaf people are equal to everyone else, not second-class citizens. We are truly grateful to Governor Walz and his team for setting this precedent by providing CDIs for access moving forward. I can't tell you how eternally grateful our community is for that experience. Now, House File 170 focuses on providing CDIs in schools for deaf students. Providing such access will allow for a more rich, in-depth, connected school experience. CDIs are deaf adult role models. They model language and culture. They provide a more fluid social engagement. Many deaf students have experienced being sidelined, like Dove and Vin Nathanson's, as you just saw. This is not new. They are often left out while consistently wishing and searching for more meaningful connections with their peers, teachers, and administrators. So often, we don't really know our classmates, who they are. We know the teachers tell us what to do, kind of, throughout the day, and we just go through the motions, and that's what school is. We miss that real connection and inclusion, inclusive educational experience that our peers are having. Deaf students don't have the opportunity to access the comprehensive education, one that will foster lasting friendships, personal growth, and social-emotional health. I'm sure you can remember when you were young, looking up to a role model, wanting to be that person when you grew up. For many of you, I'm sure it was maybe your teacher, which makes sense because teachers are great role models. They remember what it feels like to be a student. They have empathy and a stronger connection with their students because of that experience. It's the same concept here that we're talking about. Deaf students now have a role model in their classroom who is deaf like them, someone who remembers what the struggles of connecting with your teachers and peers feels like. I used to be a deaf student. I used to be like Dove and Vin. I get it. I wish that I had a CDI when I was young. That would have made a world of a difference in my educational experience. By having CDIs, deaf students will finally feel like they belong at that school, like they are a part of the educational community. An additional perk is that they will also see that deaf people can become professional interpreters, and with the specialized training like I've had, it might even be a career that they'd want someday. I always struggled in school to really keep up and feel involved. And I can't imagine what it would have been like to have a deaf interpreter that knew what my experience was like to look up to. As you've seen during the pandemic and civil unrest, that providing access through the use of a CDI has now become a precedent to ensure accuracy of the message. Let's apply that same standard and expectation for deaf students in the classroom. Let's show them that they matter, that inclusion matters, and that an equitable education matters. And that would make it so that I want to go to school rather than have to go to school. Minnesota has proven time and time again that children are the priority. Now, let's make deaf children our priority by passing House File 170. We can do this. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Next up, we have Alicia Lane. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Chair Joachim and members. My name is Alicia Lane. I am here as the Government Relations Director for the Minnesota Commission of the Deaf, Deafblind, and Hard of Hearing. I am here to express support for House File 170. And I just want to ask and have one moment to connect with my interpreter before I move on. Thank you. I recently changed a bit about my testimony, and so I wanted to make sure that we were on the same page. Thank you for your patience. So, House File 170. I myself became deaf when I was a baby. My family all was hearing, but I had a huge privilege, one that other deaf folks don't always have. I had almost full access to language at home, my native language. My family learned to sign. And that language exposure made all the difference. That privilege impacted my academic experience more than I can even say. It benefited me and put me almost at the same level as my hearing peers, and there are very few deaf folks that have that same advantage. So I'm going to share a little story with you all today, something that happened, this is back in the 80s. So I was in a Texas history class. Most of the time, I was the only deaf student in a classroom full of hearing folks. Every once in a while, I'd have other deaf classmates that would come in for a specific reason, and this was one of them where there were other deaf folks in there. So again, Texas history, we can all imagine the size of that book, right? Everything's bigger in Texas. So there was a lot of information. It was very complex. And there happened to be six of us deaf folks that were sitting kind of together. There were two tables with three people. I was in the back in the center. And I was trying to just work on the assignment with that huge Texas history book. And I realized I was constantly being interrupted by my deaf peers. So the reason I'm telling you this story is because deaf interpreters have been around for ages. And again, because of the language privilege that I had that my peers did not have, they were constantly asking me to explain this concept or that concept or where to find this answer. Well, of course, I was just a kid. I didn't have any professional training. It was, you know, you could say unpaid labor. And I was young. And I always, of course, was frustrated with them saying, come on, look at page 61. The answer's on page 61. And someone else would ask me something else. And, oh, the answer's on page 72. Look at page 72, right? I was always trying. I was feeling like, I wasn't being very kind. Of course, I was a child. But that's an example of me acting as a deaf interpreter in my class for my deaf peers that didn't have the same language acquisition as I, or the same access to language as I had in ASL. So when you are watching a hearing interpreter, it's like listening to someone with a very thick accent. So a hearing interpreter, excuse me, I don't know if I said that right. So with a hearing interpreter, it's like watching someone with a very thick accent all day or listening to someone. And you can imagine trying to get your education that way is difficult. And thanks for your patience with the interpreting process here. So when you use a deaf interpreter teamed with a hearing interpreter, that deaf interpreter takes the responsibility of using their native language to actually teach the information. So then no longer does the student have to listen to that thick accent all day, which is exhausting and a burden for our deaf students all day, every day. And that does not give them equitable access to education. And so it's important that we utilize these deaf interpreters and pay them. As the statute stands, it excludes deaf interpreters from being educational interpreters. So by supporting House File 170, we are going to make the language more inclusive so that CDIs can be utilized in the classroom and be recognized professionals that they are. Thank you. I stand for questions.
Thank you. Members, that's it for our testifiers, but I just wanted to kick it over quickly, Representative Becker Finn, to Ms. Beckel. We are a finance committee, and this does have a fiscal note. That's why we're laying it over. We have the fiscal note from last year that I want her to walk through, and then we can go to member questions.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representatives. Solveig Beckel, House Fiscal. The fiscal note for this year has been requested, but we have not received it back yet. So I just wanted to discuss the fiscal note from the 2022 session for House File 1408. This was, of course, carried by Representative Becker Finn then as well. The fiscal note then assumed that costs would start in fiscal year 23. This bill, of course, would have costs starting in fiscal year 24. But it does have costs shifted, as many education programs are. So 90% of the current year payment and 10% of the, prior year payment would be added together per year. So the first year has only the 90% payment, and then the following years have the shifted 98% and 10% payments. And so their estimates from the previous year for the cost of this program were $268,000 in the first year, and then the following years, $305,000 ongoing. And this would not be any costs to MDE for admin, but costs for additional certified deaf interpreters needed by school districts. The assumptions that go into this fiscal note for this year may be different, but this is just what they had for us last year, so it may be similar, and they may update their assumptions. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Beckel. Any member questions? Representative Edelson.
I always talk in this committee. I don't know why it is. thank you, Madam Chair, Representative. And thank you for testifying. A colleague and I are just saying how famous you are. and I hope you'll say hi to my interns that are here from Edina, because they probably think you're famous as well. But this is a great bill, Representative. And I'm reading the letter from the Council on Disability. And I just love, that this would be inclusive. And I think it's so important for us when we look at teachers that we see ourselves in them. And I'm just really happy to support this bill.
Thank you, Representative Edelson. Members, any other questions? Representative Anderson, yeah.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for bringing this forward, and I'm supportive, as you know, of the bill. So thanks.
Thank you. Representative Purcell.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think something maybe we don't talk about is the benefit to hearing students as well. So I got to attend an elementary school where the deaf and hard of hearing kids were all at my elementary school, and so I got to learn not nearly as well, but I got to learn some signed exact English and some ASL, and that's a lifelong skill that I have benefited from. So thank you for bringing this. I look forward to supporting it.
Thank you, Representative Purcell. Seeing no further questions, Representative Becker Finn, final comments.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. And I think Representative Purcell's comment also brings up in the past, one of the questions that's been asked is, and I know sort of offline been asked to these students is, well, why don't you just go to the Metro Deaf School, or why don't you just go to the State Academy? And honestly, that's an option, and that should certainly be an option that a student would have. But the important thing about this bill is it allows students to go to school in their home community with their peers and the folks that they have grown up with, that they live in the same neighborhoods with, and really speaks to, I think, on decades, really so much work that has gone into making sure that people and students have the ability to learn where they want to learn, and that we aren't sort of taking deaf kids and putting them in separating them from the rest of our students, because there is a benefit to everybody. I know personally, as someone with a sibling who has a physical disability, the benefits to my family and my children and the people that we grew up with in learning from him about the different abilities that we all have. And so I do think that is really important. It isn't just helping the small number of deaf students who would really benefit from this, but it really would benefit everybody. And so I want to give a shout out to Representative Daniels. On the Republican side has always been very supportive of this effort, and I have appreciated his partnership in standing up for and speaking for our deaf and hard of hearing community. And so I just really appreciate the efforts and appreciate the support. And it's a very small number in the overall education finance budget, and I hope that this is the year we can finally make this law and help these students. So thank you for the time today, Madam Chair.
Thank you so much, Representative Becker Finn, and thank you for being persistent in bringing this bill forward. With that, the chair lays over House File 170 for possible inclusion in the education finance bill. Thank you. Members, that's the end of our agenda right now for education finance, but don't stray too far. We're going to be coming back at 11 a.m. For our joint meeting with the Children and Families Committee. We are adjourned.